At the Prospect Park Band Show, I believe that's in Brooklyn, will be Los Amigos Invisibles and Aterciopelados. At Mirel's, Abraxa, Santana, and Seven Turns, and an Almond Tribute. Okay? So, remember, you can find all this at WUSB-FM, and stay tuned to 90.1 FM.
And you are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time for another edition of Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you this week. Weren't here last week. I was out carousing in another part of the country. And back after having a bit of an adventure, joined tonight by Voltaire from Off the Hook. How you doing?
Hi. Wait,
hang on a second. I forgot to turn your mic. I turned the wrong mic on. Try that again.
Hi.
Okay.
Am I here now?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you fine. Okay, great. Voltaire, you're the 2600 intern this summer.
Yes, the official.
So you're doing all kinds of fun things.
Yeah.
Getting the magazine and the website into the 1990s. And, today we had an adventure. We actually took delivery of the new batch of German soda that we're importing into the country. It's a weird world that we're involved in. It really is. I never thought when I got involved with the Hacker magazine that I'd be importing soda later on, but that's kind of what I'm doing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the Hacker magazine is just a front for the sodas.
You know, it might as well be, because, we all know publishing is dying, we all know literacy is dying, but people have to drink soda.
And if you're doing something suspicious, there's no better front business than a Hacker magazine.
That's true. So we have this imported German soda that we had at The Last Hope, which basically, it's got all this energy, but you don't have, like, the crash you get when you have one of those other energy drinks. The Germans love it. All the hackers love it. So now we're in that business. I'm having a heck of a time here, as you can see, getting my headphones on because, well, I'm wearing a helmet. And I'm wearing a helmet because I've had this helmet on since I got back from tour camp. which took place over the summer.
Well, it was over the summer.
It was over the summer. It didn't take the whole summer. Now I'm looking for the word for the day. The day is at the end of the week. The weekend. It took the weekend. And basically, we were at an abandoned, well, not completely abandoned, but an unused missile silo that had been constructed for the Cuban Missile Crisis and only used for a few years back in the 1960s. So the folks over at the Tourcon Foundation decided that this would be a great place to have an outdoor camp. And it was. It really was. It was in the middle of the desert. You don't think in Washington State there's a desert, but there is. And it got pretty hot, you know, it got pretty hot in the daytime. And where you were walking around, it was volcanic ash, literally. It was volcanic ash on the ground. It'd be like walking on the moon. And just the dust would be kicked up everywhere. But at night, things really came together, I think. Communities were formed and people stayed up all night. But underground, oh wow, underground was the best. Because that's where the actual missile silo complex was. And you would just go down and down all these stairs, and you'd be maybe five stories underground, and it would be maybe 50 degrees. Naturally, that's the temperature down there. And a couple days later, we got a real tour of the missile silo, the abandoned missile silo, no longer used. You had to walk down these long, long corridors with flashlights, and this guy who knew the system well would basically take each person to the edge of this precipice, and you would look over the edge, and he would shield you with his body. There was no guardrail or anything there. He would just basically stand there at the edge and press his hand up against the wall and keep you from plunging over literally 100 or more feet to certain death. And it was like, it was the closest I can describe it is that scene in Star Wars with the sword fight, you know, with Darth Vader and his son.
They're talking about Episode 4?
Is it Episode 4? Yeah,
yes.
Episode 4.
In the original Death Star.
Yeah, and you look over the edge, and it's like that. It really is like that. And boy, I don't think I've ever seen anything scarier than that. And to think that these things exist all over the place. There were three of those missile silos on this complex alone. And this is one that hasn't been used since the 1960s. Think of all the ones that are in use now or that were abandoned much more recently. And perfect location for a hacker camp. I mean, this was worthy of the Germans, what the Germans pulled off, or what the Dutch pulled off over in Europe. You had the same sense of community. Not as many people, maybe only 300-400 people, but it was the community was amazing. You had the greatest conversations with people. You just hung out and traded all kinds of stories, and it was amazing. I wish more people from here had come over there. I don't know if it can ever be duplicated, but it just goes to show that people in the hacker world can, I guess, get adjusted to any kind of climate. Like, we can do the desert now, we can camp out in the forest. What do you think the next cool hacker camp can be?
How about, like, something in the ice world, like kind of like Episode 5 of Star Wars at Hoth?
Okay, but do you have a location in mind other than in science fiction? Because we can't just summon up a world. We have to go somewhere. Antarctica. If you're thinking Antarctica, yeah, I'm right there with you. Definitely.
There are a lot of penguins there. I think penguins get along fine with that.
And penguins. Oh, you know what? We had a crow. This was incredible. I'll show you pictures later. I gotta take this helmet off because I just can't keep the headphones on. Hold on. Sorry, I dropped the helmet. No, I've been wearing this bright orange helmet. Got a lot of stairs on the airplane. But it's everybody who came to the camp got a helmet. That was part of the admission badge, a real construction worker helmet. You needed that when you went downstairs. You had to have a helmet because it's dangerous. But no, we had a crow. Inside the barn. The barn was one of the buildings that we had access to. There was this crow just walking around. He was a baby crow, but he was big. He seemed as big as a regular crow, but he couldn't fly. And apparently he had fallen out of a nest, which was inside the barn. And he was just walking around. He'd walk right up to you. You could pet him. You could feed him. You could give him water. He'd make a calling noise at you. It was really pretty cool. And I saw a lot of interesting animals there. I saw some deer. I saw some coyotes. And even some humans.
I wasn't there myself, but from the picture I saw, the best analogy I would say to what the actual silo looked like was the scene out of the third Matrix where they were all at the bottom and all the all the like not the robot, like flying robot machines are coming in and they're shooting at all of them. That kind of it reminds me of. It's like huge. Like how many feet do you think that the
When you originally went down, I think it was about maybe I'm bad with feet, but maybe 70, 80 feet down to the level with the control room. The control room is where I gave a talk, and it was really cool. I basically opened the talk saying, you know, we're standing in a place that could have started the end of the world. You fire these missiles, somebody else is going to fire missiles back at you. The end of the world could have started right here, and now hackers are in this place, hanging out here, having a great party, and it's just the most incredible thing. But that was about, I'd say, 70 feet down. Below that, another 100 feet at least, was where the actual missile silos were. And it's, you know, it's extremely dangerous. There are all these people that go down there, and you see graffiti, you see AC/DC and Metallica. All these stoners go down there, and they smoke and they drink and various things like that. Although, I think most of the graffiti was from the 80s. If you're walking down the aisles, these dark hallways, it could be a drop of maybe only 10 feet, but still, it's a drop in the middle of nowhere, so you have to be very, very careful. It's an extremely dangerous place to be. But people were very responsible. Everybody, you know, knew exactly what rules to follow. If there was ever a question or a crisis, people were on it immediately. You know, the same basic spirit we have at HOPE, the same basic spirit we have at the European camps and conferences, where everybody's looking out for each other. And I don't think there were any incidents at all. It was just it was a great time. Can't believe nobody else came from New York. Well, nobody else from the Off the Hook crew, certainly.
Guilt trip.
Yeah, total guilt trip. Well, hopefully we'll see more people at HAR, which is taking place in Holland next month, in August. And in fact, we talked about this on Off the Hook last week, and I'd like to reemphasize that we're still trying to fill the airplane. That's right, chartering an airplane, or chartering part of an airplane, go to hackersonaplane.info. Yes, hackersonaplane.info for more information on that. I think you have to register within the next few days, though, because in order to get the special fare, they have to know the names of the people that are going and all that kind of fun stuff. So,
yeah, if you buy through them, you end up saving money. It's cheaper than buying an airplane ticket and the ticket to the conference itself. So.
And not only that, you get a tour. There's two different trips. One is just to go to the HAR conference. In Holland at the camp, and you don't have to camp either. If you take advantage of this, you get to stay in a building and have hot showers and things like that, which is, I guess, is kind of cool if you're an American especially. But, you know, you can camp. It's better to camp. It's just a better experience, I think. But there's another trip, too, that leaves a week earlier where you get a full trip to Austria. You get a tour of all the hacker spaces in Austria and in some in Germany and also in Holland. So it's a lot of fun. It's cool. It's worth doing. And, of course, you wind up at HAR on that trip as well. And, you know, I didn't, truth be told, I didn't camp at tour camp. It was a desert climate, you know, and I didn't want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning when the sun came out. And when the sun comes out and you're camping, it kind of, you know, makes things very hot in your tent. Right, Spiny? Yeah. What? Okay, Spiny's here. Putting away records, is that what you're doing? Yeah, he's putting away records and not speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry, are you speaking to me?
Yeah, your name is Spiny, isn't it? Yes, he's being antisocial today. That's fine, no problem. Michael Jackson, of course you heard Spiny's Michael Jackson special today. I was in tears. It was really, and you were in tears too. It was something else.
My contacts fell out.
Never knew it was. He was such a big fan. Devoted fan too. Surprised you're not in California right now.
I'm watching all the ghost sightings of Michael Jackson now.
Yeah, it's never going to end, is it? Well, you know, I haven't been on the air since that happened, so I didn't really get a chance to talk about it. Let's do this. We're going to take some phone calls. I know people have a lot on their minds, a lot of things they just want to get out, and that's fine. We're here for you. But I'd like to start with a tribute, if I may, to Michael, playing one of my favorite songs. And we'll come back with more information on what may very well be the greatest entertainer of our time.
Ever.
Yeah, the greatest entertainer of our time ever.
Ever.
That's a good sentence. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be right back. right. Yeah, well, you know, a little humor. A little humor is in order, don't you think? Okay, that wasn't really Michael Jackson. That was Weird Al. But, yeah, I like that song. You say that's your sister's favorite song, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, you know, spread a little joy. It's been weird. It's been strange. Just, I mean, I remember the moment I first heard about it. Where were you when Michael Jackson died? Do you remember?
On the Twitters.
You were not on the Twitters. That's not a place. No, you were doing something, and all of a sudden, somebody said, "My God." Actually, I think I heard that he had a heart attack or a cardiac arrest or something like that first, and it just...
Yeah, same here. Oh, I already remember. I was on the plane, and I was watching on the TV.
You were on a plane?
Yes.
Okay.
And there were no snakes or hackers, but, yeah, I was on the plane, and I was watching the BBC, I think, and they had... under the headlines, it said that Jackson had a heart attack.
Wow. So you were actually up in the air,
yeah,
flying somewhere.
And then when I got to my cousin's house, they told me that he had died.
Wow. Well, okay. I think I was on the phone, and someone told me on the phone. I said, wow, that's interesting. And I just resumed my conversation. Well, you know, it's not out of coldness, but it's just, you know, this is a celebrity. This is somebody that you hear about a lot, and it's not really real, you know. It's sad, though. It really is sad. When I think about the life this guy led, and just constantly in the public eye, constantly a spectacle, never actually getting a chance to live a normal life. I mean, from the beginning, when this guy was what, 5 years old, he was performing, and just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that kind of fame, I think, can just drive you mad after a while. And I think that led him to become more and more bizarre and strange and reclusive. I get the feeling he was extremely lonely. I mean, he couldn't just go out and hang out someplace. Couldn't, you know, take a spin in his car. Couldn't do anything. He was basically a prisoner. So that's something I think a lot of people don't get, the fact that this guy didn't really lead a happy life. And now what you're seeing, it's like people aren't even aware that this poor guy died as unhappily as he probably lived. They're basically just, I see people cheering. Oh my God, I got tickets to the memorial. It's like, it's a memorial. You shouldn't be jumping up and down with joy at something like this. And if you care about the guy, it's a sad moment. It's something that, I don't know, I would hope people would reflect a little bit about, and maybe we learn something from this somehow. We learn how not to treat people. We learn how someone's life could be improved despite the fact that they're multimillionaires and extremely famous and things like that. I mean, this to me, it seems like a medical condition, what happens to people when they get too famous. They just can't function in society anymore. And this guy clearly could not function in society, had all these people taking advantage of him just to, you know, bleed off of his millions and to, you know, to become famous themselves, perhaps. I mean, you know, just looking at the guy, you realize that something clearly is wrong. Something's not right with the way this guy's leading his life, and he needed help of some sort, which he did not get. You know, it's, but people are jumping up and down, happy that they got tickets to be in the Staples Arena with his body. And I had tickets to. I mean, I'm not innocent here either. I had tickets to see his concert in London.
But that didn't give you an advantage in getting tickets to his funeral.
Well, yeah, I didn't know about that at the time. But basically, what happened was a couple of months ago, whenever these tickets got announced. That was bizarre in and of itself because they just kept expanding. They just kept saying, okay, now we're going to have 12 concerts. Now we're going to have 20 concerts. Now we're going to have 50 concerts. And, you know, the poor guy, this killed him. This killed him trying to prepare for all these concerts when he hadn't performed in so long.
Didn't they say that he was only aware that he was having, like, a few, but then it turned out he didn't realize how many he was having?
Yeah, he seemed to not be aware of a lot of things going on. Of course, we only can rely on what other people tell us. But, yeah, he might not have ever known that he was going to be doing that many concerts. But one thing that is certain is that he had to really get into shape to do this. And that's no small task for anybody. And he was 50 years old, so I think that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Of course, who knows what drugs he had as well. Who knows what they were feeding him and what he was convinced that he had to have to survive. It was just... just really sad. But yeah, I got the tickets because I wanted to sell them, okay? I wanted to sell them and make a mint. I thought, and plus I wanted to see if I could do it. I wanted to see if I could actually get tickets in the first place. And I was able to. In fact, I got tickets for July, and I got tickets for next January, I think. And now I either get a refund or I get a ticket.
Stub.
Yeah, commemorative a stub? No, a whole ticket. Why did I only get the stub? I didn't get to go to the concert, so I should get the whole ticket.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe I'll get the ticket if it's an actual ticket and not a memorial type ticket, you know, because that's not the same thing as a real ticket.
And sell that anyway.
I'm just as bad as everybody else. I'm just thinking about this in terms of economics.
Well, you could get one stub and see how that sells, and then once you find out if it's valuable or not.
Well, how do I do that? I can't go back and buy it. You know, I have to make up my mind. Do I want the refund or do I want the ticket?
Can you get the refund for one and then put the other one on hold?
I don't know if I can put it on hold. I can get the refund for one or get the ticket for one and then figure, I don't know. You know what? This is stupid. As long as I get my money back, I don't care. I didn't know the guy. I wasn't friends with the guy. So, okay, I don't have to feel sad at the human loss, even though I do feel somewhat sad at the human loss. It's this whole thing of marketing and the will and album sales. I mean, people are saying, yeah, this was a really smart move on his part because all these album sales now are going to pay back the debt. And they're talking about CNBC had a special about the economic effect of the Michael Jackson debt. Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles, is asking for help to pay for all the celebrations, memorials, whatever it is that they're doing. It's costing them a fortune. And all the TV specials, all the radio specials.
Like us.
But I'd like to think we're doing it a little bit differently. But in the days following, everybody was playing his music. We weren't playing his music, I don't think. Occasionally, you'd hear somebody play a single song, but that was about it. Today, the memorial service was on all the network channels, I think, but there wasn't on any radio stations, which is kind of weird. Let me just quickly go over what happened today. Michael Jackson's golden casket rested on stage during his memorial service at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, and in the end, the apocalyptic predictions of crowds running out of control, of pandemonium on the streets, of chaos on stage, like so much of the wild speculation has poured out since Michael Jackson died 10 days ago, proved wide of the mark. He may have led a life that was increasingly eccentric and troubled in later years, but none of that dark side was on display today.
Except for at the end when the Indiana Jones Holy Ghost came out of the Ark and melted everybody's face.
I must have been in the bathroom when that happened. His final performance from the gathering of L.A. crowds shortly before dawn to a private memorial in a cemetery up in the Hollywood Hills, a motorcade through the streets of the city, culminating in a memorial led by preachers, singers, and sportsmen. It was all as flawless and precision accurate as his teenage singing had been, or his legendary dancing in the 1980s. Even the motorcade, fronted by the hearse carrying Jackson's golden casket, streamed through the city without a glitch, flanked all the way by LAPD officers and cars on bicycles and hovering overhead in police helicopters. For the family and friends, the day began well before 8 a.m. local time when about 200 gathered at the Jackson parents' home in Encino. There, too, fans had begun to gather, were kept back along with a mounting pile of flowers and cards by police barricades. Then a 16-strong motorcade of black limousines and buses conducted the chosen ones to the Forest Lawn Cemetery in the Hollywood Hills. And that, no doubt, will be a mecca for many decades to come. The star's mother, Catherine, who has custody of his three children, traveled in the first vehicle, giving her a brief private moment with her dead son before the public Michael Jackson took over again in front of a television audience of millions. The cameras failed, for now, to penetrate that private sanctum in the Hall of Liberty at Forest Lawn. The last show of the King of Pop attracted blanket television coverage normally reserved for departed presidents or royalty. Across America, more than 16 TV networks carried the memorial live. Impromptu crowds gathered in Harlem and Times Square in New York and in Gary, Indiana, the singer's birthplace. And around the world, channels broadcasting from Los Angeles included BBC Two in the UK, TF1 in France, Germany's RTL, Australia's 9, and NHK in Japan. And in an echo of events across America, fans gathered outside the O2 Arena in London, many who had planned to see Jackson's comeback concert there but heard his epitaph instead. Indeed, this was it. Yeah, I didn't really see any of it on TV, to be honest, but I knew it was going on. I knew it was mayhem and craziness, and it's just sad, you know, that we could have heard so much more interesting music from this guy. We could have seen so many more performances were it not for all the craziness and the fame and the eccentricity and health issues and and things like that. It's always sad to lose somebody with talent. And here's something else interesting too. I wanted to play this because this is something that I think needs to be heard. This is coming up. Yeah, this is actually unfortunately one of our representatives here on Long Island. We've talked about this guy before. Oh my God, this guy Peter King, Republican, says the dumbest things sometimes, and really.
Let the video speak for itself.
Yeah, it's we're going to only hear the audio, but we're watching the video. He's standing outside the Wantagh Fire Department.
Hi, this is Congressman Pete King, and yesterday I marched in two 4th of July parades in Wantagh and Vespeco Park. Today I was just taking a walk through Wantagh here at the American Legion Hall, firehouse down the street, a fire memorial a few blocks from here. And it really reminded me of the great men and women who have sacrificed so much for our country. People fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan today, cops, firefighters, teachers, none of whom really get much credit. And yet for the last, I don't know how long now, this lowlife, Michael Jackson, his name, his face, his picture, is all over the newspapers, television, radio. So what we hear about is Michael Jackson. And let's knock out the psychobabble. This guy was a pervert, he was a child molester, he was a pedophile. And to be giving this much coverage to him day in and day out, what does it say about us as our country? I just think it's too politically correct. No one wants to stand up and say, we don't need Michael Jackson. You know, he died, he had some talent, it's fine. There's people dying every day. There's men and women dying today in Afghanistan. Let's give them the credit they deserve. I really think the media has disgraced itself. I think that too many people in public life have made fools of themselves by talking about Michael Jackson as if he's some kind of hero. There's nothing good about this guy. He may have been a good singer, did some dancing. But the bottom line is, would you let your child or grandchild be in the same room with Michael Jackson? What are we glorifying him for? So anyway, let's take some time out to really look to the people that do make us a great country. The men and women of the armed forces, police, firefighters, teachers who work in really rough neighborhoods, people who volunteer with dying cancer patients, people who work in AIDS clinics. They're the ones we should be glorifying, not some pervert like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Peter King, enlightened man there. Oh, my God. How does somebody like that ever get elected in the first place? I mean, the guy, he talks like he can barely, string a sentence together for one
thing. Yeah, it sounds like there's cars going by whenever he's...
Well, there are cars going by. He's standing in the middle of the street.
Yeah, another being sarcastic.
Indication of his intellect there. But, I mean, first of all, you know, the guy was acquitted of these charges. Second of all, the guy just died. And this is how, I mean, yeah, that's why people are talking about him, because a monumental superstar, whether or not you like that phrase, it is true. He just passed away and left a lot of music and videos behind and all kinds of sadness.
He does make a good point that perhaps the media shouldn't be like playing this on every single station as opposed to covering other important stories.
But, oh, I agree with that, totally. But that's not what he was saying. He's saying that there's nothing good about this guy. This guy's a lowlife. He's a child molester. He's a pervert. I mean, this is like, this guy belongs back in the 1950s, because he obviously doesn't follow through with facts, with, seeing how, what was brought out in the case, reading about, you know, I read up on this before I came in today, on the Gavin Arvizo. You know, that's supposed to, I think you can say his name now. This is the accuser. The European media was always saying his name, but we were, in this country, we were instructed not to say his name. But I think when you accuse somebody of something and it's found to have no merit, you know, your name shouldn't continue to be hidden, because obviously you're lying, or you're found to be lying, or something like that. But basically, the Arvizo family had all kinds of things going on, and all kinds of indications why they would pursue something like this. For instance, when the Arvizo family and Michael Jackson were on good terms, she encouraged all the children, the mother is, encouraged all the children to call Jackson daddy, even though he had three children of his own. The accuser's mother, Janet Arvizo, has been identified as the most problematic of the prosecution witnesses. Her behavior of snapping her fingers and staring at the jurors was criticized by jurors after the trial. She was often unresponsive to questioning, even by the prosecution. She seemed to argue defensively over seemingly small issues, such as whether she had a body wax or only a leg wax. She even accused...
I don't think that's a small issue at all.
Okay, fine. If you're up on the stand, though, I don't know. She even accused the defense of altering a receipt for the body wax. Yeah, questions were often answered with speeches or catchphrases rather than answers. She made repeated use of a few catchphrases, such as, "It's burned inside my memory," "Money doesn't buy happiness," and testified to the sheriff that Jackson wanted to kidnap her and the family with a hot air balloon. There were other instances where the court erupted in laughter over her answers. So, yeah, you know, there were so many troubling things here with this case. You can read up about it. Just do the research, which obviously Peter King didn't do. And you'll find that a lot of people just trying to latch on to the fame, to get money somehow. To this day, this is still going on. It's really it's sick to see that. Anyway, so that's this guy, though, Peter King. He just upsets me so much, because why are people like this elected? Why do we have people that are so close-minded and bigoted, and I don't know if those are even the right words here. This is just ignorance, because he's saying things that are completely untrue. And
I don't know. I think there are a lot worse things that Peter King had done than so.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. He's had some dandies in the past.
I mean, I don't know much about the Jackson case to begin with, so, but even that said, the fact that even if what the accusations were true, what this guy is saying, his ability to twist the whole problem with the media covering this as opposed to important cases like soldiers dying, he twisted to turn into a whole moral campaign to get him, or moral crusade to get him votes. It's kind of like...
Yeah, I mean, he wants to sound like every man, you know, and not be any more intelligent than you know, the average person.
Yeah, and he's walking right next to all the fire.
Yeah, he's trying to identify with these people. You know, it's great, you know, you come across as a very average person, not somebody that should be representing people and getting something better for them. With this kind of closed-mindedness, God knows what else we're losing out on because of him. Okay, enough about that. But hopefully somebody will take this up, because that's slander, what he just said there, and very disturbing, especially, you know, from a humanitarian point of view, when someone something tragic has just happened, to just... I mean, of course, you know, it's not about not honoring somebody. It's not a question of, well, we're going to honor Michael Jackson. That means we're not going to honor any veterans. We're not going to honor anybody dying of AIDS. You know, just basically saying all these campaign slogan things to try and get votes, as if Michael Jackson dying somehow is going to be responsible for other people not being honored in some other way.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Peter King snapping his fingers at the jurors now.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be something? Him and Sarah Palin, now there's a team. There's a team. Talk about eccentric behavior. What Sarah Palin has been doing recently, what do you make of that, Walter? I mean, I was watching that when I was over in Washington State at the camp, and, you know, all of a sudden just resigning her post for no apparent reason.
Well, I think the apparent reason is that she wants to spend more time maybe practicing her geography so that she can run for president in 2012.
Do you really think she's going to be the one to run the...
I hope so. It's just surprising that she got... you'd think that the Republican Party would be smarter than that and nominate smart people, but then again, it's at least a semi-democratic process, so whoever members of the Republican Party... Uh-huh. Vote for will they get to choose in the end. But then again, the Republican Party or Republican Party members tend to be I think the majority of people that vote for Republicans are actually not registered as independents, or registered not as Republicans, but independents. So people that are registered as Republicans tend to be more extremists.
I'm sorry, Sarah's underneath us right now. But this talk she gave, where she was announcing that she was quitting, just so rambling and off the subject, and had to wonder just what was really going on here, because there's something about this that just doesn't make any sense. And she's talking about how all these people are out to get her, and I was watching on Fox News, actually, and all the Fox News people are rallying around her. They're just not in touch with reality, these people. It really is. It's almost funny. Yeah, let's listen for a second.
California to the tip of Barrow. We live in peace because centuries ago, so many fought for something far greater than themselves. And so many continue to fight for us today. So I say, God bless our military on this eve of Independence Day. Well, people who know me know that besides faith and family, nothing is more important to me than our beloved Alaska. Serving her people is the greatest honor that I could imagine. I want Alaskans to really be able to grasp what can be in store for our state. We were purchased as a territory because a member of President Abraham Lincoln's cabinet, William Seward, he providentially saw in this great land vast riches and beauty and strategic placement on the globe.
You know, I just can't take it anymore. I'm sorry. I just can't. Let's go to something a little bit more relevant.
Michael Jackson.
You better mud all over my dress with your old bicycle.
Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson.
Gee, Carol, those mud stains will never wash out.
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, gee, what am I going to do?
Van Halen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carol, you were too close.
Tina Turner.
Sorry, what good does that do?
David Bowie.
You know you aren't supposed to be riding your bike during lunch hour.
Dennis, Madonna, Huey Lewis and the News, The Cars, Woody Hancock, Bonnie Tyler, ZZ Top, Weird Al Yankovic, Sandy Hooper, Pink Floyd, The Pretenders, Billy Joel, Billy Idol, Elton John, Neil Young, Gina Easton, John Lennon, The Alan Parsons Project, Rick Springfield, The Rolling Stones, Pat Benatar, Paul and Host, Adam and Ed, Queen, Jagger and Mellencamp, Fleetwood Mac, Duran Duran, Police, The Rhythmics, Culture of Thought, including Boy George, Kenny Rogers, Stevie Wonder, Jay Iglesias and Diana Ross, Donna Summer, Dean Martin, Kiss, and we especially call for the judgment of the town and the restoring of rock music directed specifically against children, and the religion specifically to these individuals. For when we call for the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God.
Oh, yeah. Fun folks over at Negative Land with something that Sorg reads a lot better than... she's still going on. She's still going on. Took her half hour to resign.
She could remix into that song pretty well.
Yeah, she really can.
This is energy.
And, you know, even though Republicans have no idea what she's up to. And I don't know. They just seem to be getting more and more erratic with the Peter Kings and the Sarah Palins of the world.
The Bobby Jindals.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, you know what? Let's take some phone calls. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. And what we're going to do is go into delay. And hopefully this will go smoothly. And then we'll be back in just a second. Taking your phone calls at 631-632-9872. But meanwhile, here's somebody to tell you just what it is you're listening to.
Hi, this is Jeff from Wilco, and you're listening to WUSB, Radio Free Long Island.
All right, and we're back in delay, and hopefully everything went smoothly. Our phone number again is 631-632-9872, and we'd like to hear what your thoughts are, maybe on Michael Jackson, or Sarah Palin, or Peter King, or...
A
local congressperson, or maybe there's something going on in your world that you'd like to share with us. We'd sure like to hear about it. Yeah, interesting times we live in. Fun things going on, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's take one of these phone calls. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening. This is Bobson of Bulgaria.
Oh, hey, Bulgaria. How you doing?
Well, getting a bit sleepy late in the night, but hey, last week when I tried to listen to Off the Wall live.
Yeah, well, we weren't on last week.
Yeah, I noticed, but later on I thought that it was...
Oh dear, we lost him. We lost Bulgaria. Bulgaria, please call back. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, what country are you calling from?
Actually, unfortunately, I'm calling from the U.S.
Oh, well, that's not so unfortunate. What part of the U.S. might you be in?
I'm on the East Coast. I'm actually out in Greensport, Long Island.
Okay, cool. Out east. It's beautiful this time of year out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Actually, the only problem that I'm whining about is I can't hear you guys.
Oh, really? You can't hear us on Greenport? You're supposed to hear us in Greenport.
I lose you, I don't know if you're familiar, well, I guess you are. I lose you just east of Riverhead, and after that, it goes back. Now, I just happen to be coming back, and I'm coming upon Riverhead, and I can hear you guys again.
You know, that really sucks, because we moved our transmitter so that we would get out there, and then these fascist NPR stations moved in and increased their power and left us high and dry.
I see. All right.
Don't get me started on this, but I'm sorry about that. But, all right, we'll just get closer to us so you can hear us.
That's what I'm doing. Real quick, yes. I missed the first, I guess, 45 minutes of the show.
Uh-huh.
I'm running around.
It's 6:44 now. That meant you missed everything plus 1 minute.
Basically, it's what I did.
Okay.
I know you're going to tell me to go just listen to the podcast, right?
I mean, what's on your mind?
Well, no, I wanted to find out where you went. You weren't here last week, so I'm thinking you went someplace.
Yeah, no, I went to a thing called Tour Camp, which basically was a hacker camp in the middle of Washington State, right by an abandoned missile silo. In fact, we were inside a missile silo.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it couldn't be any cooler than that. And
okay, wow.
All kinds of memories, all kinds of artifacts I brought back.
good.
It just goes to show hackers can survive in any climate.
Yes, that's cool. Tor, spelled T-O-O-R.
T-O-O-R, yeah, it's root backwards. That's why it's called Tor.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. All right, I'll listen up there, and let somebody else get on.
Did you have any feelings on Michael Jackson? We just were asking people that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's still dead, and so what?
Okay, well, I guess that's an honest opinion. Any feelings on Peter King?
I'm sorry, who's Peter King?
Good. Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
All right.
Now, if more people could say that, we wouldn't have Peter Kings to...
No, I think that's why we have Peter King.
Oh, because people vote for him not knowing who he is?
That's the case with Neil Lowy back in Westchester.
All right. Listen, we have no phone calls. You know what's going to happen? We don't have any phone calls.
Logo on it.
Sarah Palin's going to speak. Yeah, this is like worse than playing Yoko Ono.
It's worse than plagiarize.
That's right. So give us a call, 631-632-9872. If you want to hear Sarah Palin continue speaking on our radio station, then don't call. If you want to hear something else, call now. If that doesn't get all of our lines to light up at once, I don't know what will. But, well, let's listen to Sarah.
Not going to fund teachers or troopers or safer roads. And
right,
this political absurdity, the politics of personal destruction.
Oh, it's one phone call.
We're looking at more than $500,000 in legal bills. 631-632-9872.
Two phone calls.
And what about the people who offer up these silly accusations?
Come on, let's do that. Three phone calls.
It doesn't cost them a dime.
Two to go. 631-632-9872.
Public resources.
Gonna make it louder.
Spending other people's money in this game? Oh, stop. It's pretty insane. My staff and I spend most of our days we're dealing with this stuff instead of progressing our state now.
We got a bingo. Okay, let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, hi, Manny. Thank you for playing Weird Al Yankovic's greatest hit of Beat It. Put him back on the map for a day or two.
Yes.
Peter King is just another... Giuliani protege. Every other word out of his mouth is terror, terror, terror when he gets paid as a Fox analyst. I know when they go for the School of America's protest down in Fort Benning, anybody who can't make the bus trip is urged to go and sit in at his office and make some noise over there. He's one of the old hacks that managed to survive the latest Republican collapse in Washington. So,
could you provide a plug for School of the Americas? Because I know it's an important issue. I've gone to the protest myself in Fort Benning. Do you want to just talk about what the School of the Americas is exactly?
Oh, no, that's right. I think everybody knows about it. I just want to say one thing quick.
Well, actually, you know, he's got a point there because not everybody does know about it. In fact, it's not even called the School of the Americas anymore, is it?
No, it's not. Whatever, you know, another euphemism. But I want to say one thing about Michael Jackson in a more serious note. I think he should be celebrated for somebody who used his talent. And we can celebrate that and look to a higher standard for ourselves in that alone. I guess he was a troubled person all his life, and that goes with the territory that the company that he kept, and I feel sorry for him for that. But I will go back to my original point and say, you know, thank God for Michael Jackson. He inspired many, and I don't know if he helped many along the way in the music business, but he has certainly inspired many.
I think he did, because he opened the door for airplay for a lot of people that I don't think would have gotten airplay very easily. I know MTV was very reluctant to play black artists early on, and he helped to push them.
Yeah, well, MTV was really in its infancy then. It was only maybe out on TV maybe a year or so at that point, so it was hard to make that judgment. I'm not so sure that that's really the right analysis, on that line. I was thinking of somebody like Herbie Hancock, who was one of the early big hits there, where Rocket was a robot that went around, but you didn't see Herbie Hancock, you heard his music, you know.
Right.
There was a couple videos that just kind of, you know, stuck with you forever that were done in that early 1981, 1982 thing.
You're fading a bit, but yes, good points. Thanks for that call. You know what? Most of those people left the line. Give us a call back, or I'm going to put Sarah back on. And yes, she's still, she just finished, but that's only part one. There's another part, and I'm clicking on it right now. So she's going to start talking again unless we get more phone calls. But Voltaire, why don't you quickly tell us about the School of the Americas, since that caller didn't want to go into too much detail. But
okay, School of the Americas, it's a school, it's a program run at Fort Benning, Georgia, which is a military base where the U.S. Military trains Latin American leaders or Latin American military folks, and throughout the 1960s and 70s and even today it's been used by like every single military despot that's come that has ruled Latin America, like Pinochet, etc. Has come out of there, and like all the death squads and everything, and they don't really like monitor them to make sure that they're doing human rights programs. So, I mean, I guess it kind of comes with the business of, especially, not so much lately, but especially in the past, it was the business of being a military in Latin America that they would often be involved in death squads. But I don't think, but obviously the U.S. shouldn't be funding them if that's going to be happening.
And now it's called WINSEC, yeah. The Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, which is a lot harder to remember than School of the Americas.
Yeah.
So I think we just call
but
it School of the Americas.
The protest group is still called School of the Americas Watch. I think SOAW.org. It's a really good program. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, and thanks for protesting, too, because that does make a big difference. Let's take some phone calls. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Okay. Don't speak up, then. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, John from Shirley. How are you?
Okay. You got a good megaphone there. What's on your mind?
All right. It's my BlackBerry. I don't have an earpiece.
Wow. That's what a BlackBerry sounds like, eh? Okay. So what's on your mind?
I'm not a big fan of Michael Jackson, but I am really wondering how history is going to remember him, whether, you know, he is pretty much defamed in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm wondering if his death is almost going to wipe people's memory of these court cases, or whether that's going to be brought back up in a week or so, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope the real truth comes out as to just what the motivations were behind those court cases in the first place, and if there actually was any truth to them at all. But I think in the end, what will live on is the music and the entertainment and the things that, you know, he lived for literally, and he also literally died for, which is a tragic shame. What we seem to forget is that all these people who are famous, all these celebrities are human beings too, and too often they can't deal with the tremendous weight that being a celebrity entails. And they're crushed by it. And I don't think there'll ever be a more tragic story than Michael Jackson. I certainly hope not.
Well, yeah, he also, I guess, I mean, like I said, I'm not a fan, but I do, I admit that he's an artist, and if you look throughout history, I mean, most artists are complete messes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Van Gogh.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but he wasn't a mess because he had a bunch of, like, teenage girls chasing him down the street.
He was
a mess because he just thought too much, I think.
But just about any artist, you know, Charlie Parker.
Mm-hmm.
He was a heroin addict. I mean, you look at any true... truly gifted artists—they're complete wrecks, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I guess there is some truth to that. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I better get off with my megaphone here.
Okay. Well, give us something to think about. But thanks for that call. I don't know, Voltaire. You think artists are wrecks?
I don't know. I think it might be kind of like confirmation bias, where if you think about all the people that are wrecks and artists, but it's hard to think. I mean, it's easier to think of who is crazy than who is normal, because, like, crazy jumps out of the paper. So.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, he said that, you know, certain people are heroin addicts, but, yeah, you know, a lot of unfamous people are also heroin addicts, too.
Yeah, and there are a lot of non-heroin addict artists.
That is true as well. That is true. Yeah. You can watch them on the Nashville Network or whatever it is. Yeah, and Sarah is back.
And our security.
She's still going on.
Then we can all learn from our selfless troops.
And that means that's so hard to take this seriously. Let's take one more phone call, and then we'll call it a night. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Oh, you know, someone keeps calling and hanging up, or maybe we're disconnecting. It might be Bulgaria. We're having trouble with that. Let's get one more phone call. We have about a minute left. So if anybody has any final thoughts, things to... that we can conclude with, it would be good. Otherwise, we have to conclude with this, you know. And
this should be our public priority with time and
resources. We really want that.
On that, not on this superficial, wasteful political blood sport. So may we all learn from them. Really, we've just got to put first things first.
631-632-9872. We only have about 30 seconds.
Governor, I love my job, and I love Alaska. And it hurts to make this choice, but I'm doing what's best for Alaska, and I have explained why. So I think of the saying on my parents' refrigerator, a little magnet that says, don't explain.
All right, we only have 10 seconds, so whoever calls in is going to have to say only a couple of words.
But I've given my reasons. There's no more politics as usual, and I'm taking my fight for what's right for Alaska in a new direction.
All right, well, unfortunately, we're out of time now, and Sarah Palin's going to have the final word here. Voltaire, I want to thank you for coming by today. And
follow me on Twitter at VOLT, the number 4IRE.
You just gave out your Twitter address on the radio. You want people to follow you on Twitter.
All right. Spam you. Yes.
Fine. Well, let's go out with... you know what? Shut up. Oh, that felt good. We're going to go out of delay first. Let's do that. Okay, we're out of delay now. Again, thank you, Voltaire, for coming in. We're going to leave with something a bit apropos, maybe untimely as well. This is something that came out a bunch of years ago. And well,
is Sarah Palin not in it?
No, Sarah Palin is definitely not in it. She didn't exist then. This is something that never happened.
Michael Jackson is shot dead in front of a live studio audience.
OTW at 2600.com. Good night.
Michael Jackson is in heaven now. front of a live studio audience. Is in heaven now.
Well, maybe, but let's do this for Alaska right here on WUSB Stony Brook.